Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, the doctor's back, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. You can reach him at schultzco@gmail.com. He's got a lot of books and a lot of things. He's almost like a drug dealer on the show. He's pushing books though. You know, there's not much more difference than that though, but he's doing good. And hey, we've got a new face on the show. We've got attorney Lance LaRosso. He's with the Blue Line Lawyer Institute. And if you can just tell our audience briefly what you do and your website, your URL that they can go to get more information.
So more information at bluelinelawyer.com. I am licensed in 4 states, Montana, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Georgia. And my firm handles catastrophic personal injury cases and law enforcement cases. So I've represented a little over 180 officers in shootings, and my firm is well over 350.
Wow, that's impressive. All right, we're looking forward to having you on the show, and we're going to do a deep dive in just a second. I do want to go to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, also ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We also have GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now on social media during the live show. So thanks so much. Also, GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, Two Bells, I think I already mentioned, TwoBells.com. And they built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So if you want to get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing and don't want to pay a lot of money for it, we don't make a dime off of anything in the online store. Go to our leoroundtable.com, go to the online store, and you guys, whatever you get, you'll be paying exactly what I pay when I get stuff too. We're just trying to get our gear, like the coffee mug behind me, shirts, hats, shorts, all kinds of stuff out there. Also, fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area. So next time you go into Orlando, hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter, or if you're more adventurous, he has the alligator hunting. You can catch and relocate the Florida alligator. It's a great opportunity. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Our main topic, we have actually two main topics we're going to be talking about. The first one is resistance. New York Times releases a stunner on how judges are biased against Trump. And this came from the Liberty Daily. So interesting. And then we've got another one. We got multiple sources, but it says, meet the murderers, the child rapists, ICE is arresting in Minnesota. We got a few articles on this. In addition to that, we have another one that's titled, Vance says corporate media endangers law enforcement by lying about this attack on ICE in Minneapolis. So he's talking about the media there. So more information, you know, about these, but those are the first two main topics that we're going to be going to. And also, as time permits, we have a use of force review board. They clear the officer repeatedly shot Takiyah Young and her unborn child. They always want to throw those little inflammatory words in there. We're going to be talking about that. We did cover the video when it actually happened, and this guy has been cleared. We're going to be talking about that. We've also got LAPD shoots a suspect who stabbed himself with a piece of glass. Interesting. We don't get these a lot. I've had to deal with it on duty. And again, it doesn't happen a lot, but occasionally you'll be dealing with people who are actually stabbing themselves or cutting themselves, and you've got to make a determination what to do to stop that. And whether or not it gets to the point where it's a lethal force situation, you know, for you. And then police shoot a knife-wielding suspect in St. Louis Airport. We got Christopher Taylor being reinstated as a peace officer. His license, he's gotten it back. Idaho Falls police officer fatally shoots a domestic disturbance suspect when he grabs a large knife. And then lastly, we got a body cam. It shows a guy throwing a Washington trooper to the ground and stealing her patrol car. And we covered that when it initially came out, but now we have body cam and there's more to talk about. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and jump into the first one. And I know we didn't really talk about it before the show, Lance, but I'm hoping that you have some stuff to add on this. The LibertyDaily.com resistance, New York Times released a stunner on how judges are biased against Trump. I was so surprised to see this, especially from this publication. So it starts off talking about Democrats and all kinds of stuff, but I'm just going to go to the nuts and the bolts. I don't want to make this too political. I want to make it factual, even though there's obviously, you know, most cops and law enforcement officers are conservative by nature. But it starts off talking about a little ways down. Just a few weeks ago, the lawsuits against the president have totaled well over 300. And an online compilation of legacy wire reporting services said that 102 Trump orders were actually left standing. 107 of his orders were still pending, and 149 were still blocked. And it goes on to talk about the New York Times has released another stunning perspective. The judiciary and the trial courts, they are vastly leftist. And their rulings many times are overturned on appeal. And I like to call that getting publicly spanked. But the postings pointed out that the district courts have ruled for Trump 25% of the time. At the appellate level, they have been 51% of the rulings for Trump. And at the Supreme Court level, he has an 88% success rate. And the reporting explains how judges appointed by Trump and other Republicans, they're actually ruling for him. Judges given, serving at the placement of the Democrats routinely oppose him. And I thought it was a pretty interesting article. And just one last thing, it says one political perspective was that it looks like district court judges need to go back to school to learn about the law. I've always thought that it would be a big deal for a judge if he got politically spanked, right, and embarrassed because a higher court overturned or even routinely overturns his verdicts. Apparently, that may not always be the truth. So whoever wants to start us off first on this one, guys, but it's it should be a good one. Lance, you want to start us off?
Sure. It's kind of an interesting article. It's a little naive, quite frankly. When you start talking about the bias of judges, judges are supposed to rule according to the law, but they're people. So they are going to call it as they see it. And one of the things that you see with these injunctions that really gets people kind of off on a tangent, and it's kind of like getting on a skateboard, going down Mount Everest before you get a chance to even see how to get off. So the problem with injunctions is they are going to be rushed. And there is a very, very low threshold to determine whether or not there is a chance of success. Not success like a normal lawsuit, but a chance of success. And if there's a chance of success, that's where you wind up having injunctions put in place, temporary injunctions. And then that's an expedited appeal to the next level. So a lot of times you're hearing, situations where people are saying, well, the appellate court overturned it, so therefore the original judge was wrong. Sometimes, especially what we're seeing with these executive orders, is they are in unfamiliar territory. One of the things that we saw recently was the use of Marines or National Guard to provide security for federal law enforcement. So, counting this is the first time it's been heard. So some of these judges are having to make determinations. You talk about the judges being spanked. Litigators, I've been a litigator for 27 years. That's why God made appellate courts. You want a judge to make a decision so you can go to an appellate court. And typically, if you don't win, you're going to go to the appellate court and the other side is going to do the same thing. So nothing about that surprised me.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. Dr. Schultz?
Well, every judge is going to have their own individual judicial philosophy, and I would be just as disturbed of a leftist bias as a rightist bias. But President Trump has challenged what we think about the constitutional executive branch authority. And as I've said before, I don't mind some of these things getting churned through because he's pushing boundaries of executive authority, and he's prevailed very frequently. We also see Congress over the years has advocated its own responsibility by pushing things either into regulatory boards or to executive decisions. So a lot of this is, as I think Lance implied or expressed, is some new territory and some stuff that needs to be put forth. I think there are individual examples of what we would consider judicial extremism, but in order to keep pressure off of judges politically, we give them these lifetime appointments or pretty easy ways to get on the state level to get reappointed. And so we need that judicial stability. But it also portends the possibility of I can do whatever I want because I've got this job as long as I want it. So I hope we don't get as cynical about the judiciary as we have about Congress and about the executive branch, because this whole mistrust of government in general is getting to be quite an epidemic. And I think everybody is hoping that the judiciary will take that neutral four corners of the law and make an interpretation based on that, not based on politics. And I hope we can preserve that integrity.
You know, Dr. Schultz, I have it on good authority that somewhere on the premises you have a judge's robe somewhere. And I heard you had a little priest thing. Oh, there you go. There's the gavel. I rest my case. Hey, guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break, and we got plenty more to talk about. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
And now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And look, we're all familiar with the glove, but in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, first responders, and corrections. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl and saline protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need, and learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. And while you're there, make sure you check out the glove and watch those cool videos as well. An amazing product, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Lance LaRosso, and we've also got Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. We're talking about a recent article that was surprising with that they're considering the background for the publication, but they're talking about judges that Trump is dealing with at the federal level, and how the he's got an 88% approval rating through the Supreme Court of the United States. And then it kind of starts declining as you go to appellate courts and district courts below that. Any final words on this, guys, before we move on to the next main topic?
You know, I'll just say this.
I don't know if it's noteworthy.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to note, and I don't know if it was in this article or other research I did, but Biden had 133 injunctions or lawsuits in his entire term. So, you know, we've got a year under our belt and about a lawsuit a day for the Trump administration. Yeah. So it's hard to believe that this is all truly policy centered and, you know, we're really seeking the best interpretation of the law. Trump is just, you know, such a magnetic character and a boundary pusher that just anything anti-Trump, anything to throw some roadblocks in his way, I think is part of a legal strategy. And I may be wrong about that, but those numbers are very interesting. I'm sorry, Lance.
Now, I'll just add that, you know, people complain about the independence of the judiciary. We just, with a co-counsel I have in Michigan, we obtained immunity for a federal officer who was charged by the attorney general. I want those federal judges to have that type of independence. You know, a federal judge signed an order and desegregated the schools in Louisiana. I want them to have the courage to make the right decision, and I want them to not be worried about a ballot box when there's really, really tough decisions there. Some of this is going to change with the Supreme Court recent decision that you can't have a nationwide injunction through one district court. So I think you're going to see a lot of this develop in the next couple of years.
All right. Interesting stuff. It's it's a great time to be alive. All the stuff, all the new stuff that we're seeing in the news cycle. I get so excited to wake up every morning. I just can't wait to get to the news. So on that note, guys, we've got another main topic. And again, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We've got two of the day. So our second one is from Rumble.com, the Liberty Daily, dailycaller.com and realclearpolitics.com, which our Secret Service buddies turned me on to. The first one is at Rumble, so not really an article, but it was a video to watch, but it talked about paid protesting is more than a gig. It's a career. And they talk about career protesters that you see from city to city, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, the same people, they're being funded. They're getting, you know, a paycheck out of it. And it's a cause. Well, it's not a cause. It's a payday. It's not a cause. And half the time they can't even tell you with any great detail what the cause is that they're supposedly there for. And then we've got Meet the Murderers, child rapists ICE is arresting in Minnesota. So everybody's aware of, you know, the shooting that happened in Minnesota or in Minneapolis. And, you know, there's a lot of people that want to get rid of ICE and they want to put restrictions on ICE. And it's almost like they're forgetting why ICE is there and what they're doing. So this article is a little reminder that despite Democrats raging against the agency, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, that they're continuing, they haven't stopped. In fact, they really dug down and they've increased arresting illegal migrant child rapists and killers in Minnesota. It goes on to say, just for an example, it talks about, and I'm not going to give the names of the bad guys, just because number one, there's too many, and number two, I can't pronounce them all. But among those recently arrested include a Laotian, and hopefully I'm saying that right, criminal illegal migrant convicted of both strong-arm sodomy of a boy and a girl and a slate of other crimes. And then we have a Laotian criminal illegal migrant convicted of sexual assault and sodomy of a girl under the age of 13. And procuring a child for prostitution, according to ICE. Both men have been outstanding, or they have outstanding final orders of removal that date back several years. And then we've got another one, illegal migrant from Laos, who was convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl, kidnapping a child with intent to sexually assault her, also taken into ICE custody. We have another one, a criminal legal from Laos that was nabbed by deportation officers, previously convicted of rape and fondling a child, and has had an outstanding order of removal since 2003, over 20 years. Federal immigration authorities also arrested a Mexican national, a Somali national, Salvadorian national, Sudanese, Sierra Leone, and Laotian again, according to ICE. All these individuals are criminal legal migrants previously convicted of homicide. And the list, it just goes on and on and on. And then lastly, Vance is addressing corporate media endangering law enforcement by lying about the attack on ICE in Minneapolis. He says that he disputes the characterization of the incident, which ended with the ICE officer, of course, shooting the female behind the car that actually we know now positively and unequivocally struck him with a car and drug him backwards. And it said that the way that the media, and this is a quote from Lance, by and large has reported the story, has been an absolute disgrace. It puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day. And this was during a White House press briefing. And sure enough, the next day in Portland, we had ICE officers that had a male and a female trying to take him out with a car the very next day. And he goes on to say what that headline leaves out is the fact that every ICE officer that very ICE officer that pulled the trigger in the Minneapolis case nearly had his life ended by being run over by a car 6 months ago. He had 33 stitches in his leg. And he said, do you think he might be a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with a vehicle? And he also said what that headline leaves out is that this woman is there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. And what that headline leaves out is that woman was part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for officers to do their job, unquote. So there you have it. Dr. Schultz, why don't you start us off on this one?
Oh, which one? You know, I've said on this program before, there are very few spontaneous uprisings. Riots are often scripted and staffed and funded, and we just see that over and over. And so the idea that there's paid protesters that, you know, might pop up all over the country, you know, going to wherever the money is, that's not really shocking to those of us that understand the dynamics of of civil disturbance. One of the things that we need to remember on these arrests is, the ICE is not just picking on Mexicans, Venezuelans, and Somalis. We have a broad, diverse representation of criminal aliens operating in this country, not just those of a certain
ethnicity. Hold that thought, Chief. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about the Chief's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they already hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, and that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Lance LaRosso, and we've also got Dr. Joel Schultz. And hey, we're talking about a really interesting topic. You know, J.D. Vance weighed in, but we're talking about Minneapolis. We're talking about the media's, not the media's really perception, but their dialogue in delivering the news, to the general public. And are they, in fact, doing law enforcement a disservice by the way they're covering the news and stuff? And then, of course, are protesters, are they really doing this because it's a cause for them or because they're getting a paycheck? When we're done with this, we'll move on to some stories with some video components. But I know, Chief, when with the commercial break, you were still talking, I believe. So, guys, go ahead and pick up where you left off.
You mean I was still talking when you cut me off? I think that is correct.
I believe technically, maybe, but
Lance was up to the 2-second mark, and you let him finish.
Well, I did it with panache.
Yeah, I lack panache. Always that. I think, part of this whole divisive dissent and left versus right and the great divide, to some great extent, I think this is a mental health problem. And I'm not talking about, Trump derangement syndrome. I'm talking about a partly foreign influenced and extremist influenced, organized brainwashing, mind control, propaganda, emotional appeal, dehumanization, personalization, all of the factors that if you were in charge of the PSYOP of trying to divide America, you would employ. And when we have these constant headlines, we had a bunch of high school students that walked out in protest, and they interviewed one of the high school girls, and bless her heart, she said, "I just don't think federal officers ought to be murdering citizens." I'm like, I agree with that. That did not happen. But we've got this mental persuasion that preload presuppositions about how to interpret the media, and then, as the vice president expressed, words matter and connotations matter and vocabulary matters. I remember talking to somebody about NPR, and they said, "Oh, NPR is unbiased. It's just straightforward." I'm like, listen to the tone, listen to the verbiage. And we're just, so many of us on both sides are being completely fooled and pushed into corners that preclude rational thinking and remembering those 8th grade civics lessons that Lance talked about.
This is the reason I wrote the book Blue News. So I've done just north of 850 media interviews. And there's a lot, I teach a lot of classes on media response. And the bottom line is, if you don't tell your story, someone else will. And we have handcuffs on law enforcement to start with, because they have no First Amendment rights when they're speaking in uniform. And then they're trying to safeguard an investigation. They're not competing to be the first person out with information. But what changed in 2015 in Ferguson was, it was no longer acceptable to protect your troops, to protect your community, to not speak up. And what you're seeing with the ICE agents bringing out the people that they are arresting, you know, it's kind of like when somebody serves on a grand jury, they start locking their doors and locking their car doors when they drive down the street after they realize what people in their neighborhood are being victims of. So the telling the story and letting people know how violent some of these individuals are that they're arresting is the only way to get the information out. And, you know, in telling your story, you have to be good at it, you have to be quick, and you have to be constant with it, because between the formal media, as I talk about in When Cops Kill, and the informal media is, you know, the blogs and podcasts, what we're doing here is a constant 24-hour bombardment. If you're going to stay ahead of it for your agency, you have to be proactive.
I love it. Good commentary, gentlemen. Hey, if you guys are okay with it, we've got an update story. Well, go ahead, Chief. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I think Ferguson was a turning point, because the chief there waited, you know, wasn't aware of the social media impact. And so the story had been told on Twitter and Facebook before he timed a press conference. And then what I thought was very fascinating, the chief in Ferguson gave out information. He said, by the way, this guy that Darren Wilson shot had just pushed an old man and strong-armed robbed a convenience store. And that just inflamed people for some reason, saying,
and we had video of it.
That makes it, absolutely, and it was brutal.
And you remember the hands up, don't shoot, and the DOJ having to get involved to do the investigation?
Yeah, never happened. And there are still politicians quoting hands up, don't shoot. I don't know how many multiple investigations there were. And I was initially kind of critical about Kristi Noem and the president. Well, you're not going to silence the president. And Vance coming out with all these proclamations about the case, because I'd always been taught old school that you wait until the information is available. You just try to calm everybody down and say, we're doing the investigation. But that's not allowed anymore. You've got to say everything that you can say, as Lance instructs us, in a way that gives people a little bit of perspective before it's too late. It's very untenable.
You know, I had surgery on my knee recently, right? When I blew it out in Georgia. And I'm not a drug guy. I don't like drugs, and I don't like to take aspirin or anything, but they wanted me to stay ahead of the pain, is what they call it. And so I think that's the exact thing that what the White House is having to do. They're having to stay ahead of the pain by coming out with that. Now, did it stop Tim Walz, the governor? Did it stop Jacob Frey, you know, the mayor, or O'Hara, the police chief, from going on and just trashing the investigation and calling people murderers and they did the wrong thing and they've got guns, they just want to show their power? No, but at least it's helping them, you know, stay ahead of it. And then Darren Wilson, the officer, I was impressed that you remembered his name. You know, he had to change his name. From what I understand, he's no longer Darren Wilson anymore, and he had to relocate because of all the death threats and stuff. He's out of a promising career because of all the lies and stuff about, like, the hands up, don't shoot, and people that are unfamiliar with the strong arm robbery that happened at the convenience store before, and the fight over the gun, and then he's advancing on the officer when he actually pulled the trigger outside the car and all that other stuff. So it's just you're refreshing all these old thoughts that I've had from Ferguson. Wow.
Well, the people that are still screaming hands up, don't shoot, are still waiting for DB Cooper to show up and get his mail.
That's a good point. Hey, we got to roll, you know, but excellent commentary. This is not the last time we've been covering this stuff, you know, every day from Minneapolis. We got 3.5 minutes left basically before we go to our next commercial break. It's an update and not a story with a video component, but there was a video, you know, that I'll have producer Will attach to it, but it's really an update on a story that had a video component originally. usnews.com, a use of force review. The board cleared the officer repeatedly shot Takiyah Young and her unborn child. So she was pregnant when he shot her. And so here we go. Columbus, Ohio is where we're at. The use of force board, they cleared the Ohio police officer who shot and killed the 21-year-old Takiyah Young, pregnant black mother, who had been accused of shoplifting. And this is according to the chief of the police department. The 5-member review board, impaneled by the Blendon Township Police Chief John Belford, they found that Officer Connor Grubb did not violate department policy when he fatally shot Young back on August 24th of 2023. So this has been a couple years ago. And it was at a Kroger parking lot in a Columbus suburb. And this is, remember that she was being accused of shoplifting and they approached her. Now, per the department policy, the board convened in December after the Franklin County judge acquitted the officer on all counts, including, this is what they were going to charge the officer with, murder, involuntary manslaughter, felonious assault, and the death of Young. Now, just to refresh people's memory on what went down here, there was body cam, as I said, it showed Grubb and Sergeant Eric Monahan. They approached Young. So there are two cops approached Young, the bad girl, outside Kroger's, about a report that she was suspected of stealing alcohol from the store. Now, she partially lowered her window, and she's protesting the officer. Now, they're making a big point about the officer cursing at her and stuff. And I, even though I don't like that, it's just really kind of like not material to what happened. On the body cam video, Young, our bad girl, can be heard asking, "Hey, are you going to shoot me?" And then she puts a turn signal on. Her car starts rolling forward toward the officer that happens to be in front of the car, who's providing backup. And he ended up firing a single bullet through the windshield, and it hit her chest. And in the statement, Grubb said that he, our officer, positioned himself in the front of Young's vehicle to provide proper backup. He said he drew his gun after he heard her failing to comply with the officer's commands, who's outside of her on the driver's door with the window partially rolled down. And when her car moved towards him, he said he felt it hit his legs and his shins, and it began to lift his body up off the ground when he fired the shot. Moments later, after the car came to it rolled through the parking lot, and it rolled up on the curb in the little shopping plaza and stuff, and stopped on the concrete wall. And they break this driver's side window, tried to save her life, but she was mortally wounded. And I know that she was pregnant. A full-time officer, this officer had been full-time with the township since 2019. And Grubb was placed on paid administrative leave. So they tried to prosecute him for murder and the other charges. And then he ended up getting cleared by the department when, of course, the criminal happens first and then the administrative. Lance LaRosso, I'll tell you what, why don't we hold it, because we're like 20 seconds away from doing a commercial break, and I don't want to bait you. And so let's do this. Hold those thoughts. We're going to take a commercial break, guys, and we will be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, and forensic organizations. Now, the founder, Danley Kelly, has got a great deal for you if you're having your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Lance LaRosso with the Blue Line Lawyer Institute, and also Dr. Joel Schultz with just himself. And we've been talking about a use of force review board clearing the officer who fatally shot Takiya Young and her unborn child. And this was at a Kroger's parking lot. You guys might remember that we covered the story. It happened a couple years ago, but we covered it probably within the last year when they released some videos and stuff. Lance LaRosso, your take on this.
Yeah, so we were talking about vehicular assaults, and they are up since 2018. In 2018, they doubled. I was being interviewed by a reporter. He said, "So you're talking about cops hit as pedestrians?" It's like, no, I'm talking about somebody using a vehicle as a weapon. So vehicle assaults are dangerous and most often deadly for a couple of different reasons. Number one is the mass of the vehicle. Talking about a 4,000-pound vehicle, and those of y'all that do accident reconstructionists, that's usually people who are good at math. I don't do math in front of people. But a vehicle striking you at 10 to 15 miles an hour is going to cause a serious bodily injury. A vehicle striking you at over 20 to 25 miles an hour has a high likelihood of being fatal. Now, let's go back, and I'm going to do a little math for you. At 10 miles per hour, which everybody thinks is crawling, most people can't drive their cars 10 miles an hour. At 10 miles an hour, a vehicle is moving roughly 15 feet per second. So in a second, that vehicle has moved, with most vehicles, the entire car length. And as I said offline to Joel a minute ago, the other thing that's deadly about vehicles is they're easy to manipulate. You can't stop them. You don't have to reload them. It's very easy to direct them towards an individual. And the vehicular assaults, when an officer is facing that, everybody says, why don't they get out of the way? This is not a Wile E. Coyote movie with you dealing with an Acme product. If somebody's coming at you with a car 10 feet away, you will not have time to get out of the way of the car.
Well, good point. Dr. Schultz, anything you want to add? I do want to, we have probably two more minutes before we're going to need to cover the story with the video component, but.
No, I think that's an important analysis that Lance shared with your audience, because it's, you know, the simple answer, well, why didn't they get out of the way, or why are you standing there? There are, you know, biological limitations, there's physics, if I remember my math, if somebody's going 10 miles an hour and has an impact, and then 20 miles an hour with an impact, that's not twice as much, but it's multiple times as much. And I haven't investigated an accident for a long time, but the math is very, very compelling.
Yeah. And you know, I always, and I'm going to say it again, whenever I look at a use of force, the very first thing I do is I want to find out if there's compliance on the part of the potential bad guy. You know, was there compliance? And, you know, we shouldn't have a job that where we totally have to change our mode of operation depending on what they're doing when they're not being compliant. In other words, if she hops in a car and gets behind the wheel, now our officer has to spend all this time trying to get out from the front of the vehicle, being in front of the vehicle. And even if it's puts him at a tactical disadvantage, now all of a sudden, what does he have to do? He has to move. This particular officer in Minneapolis had come from the other side of the car to back up the officer who's in the process of trying to extract the freaking driver. And he had his hands in the window trying to do that. And also the tires had been pointed in a safe direction for that officer who was in front of the car because they were initially pointed towards the left. But she turned the tires to the right in his direction, and he moved up on the car. I don't even know if he could have even seen her change in the direction of the tires. You know,
this is what cracks me up. Okay, so two things. Number one, I did an interview on a national news source the day after this, saying why didn't the officer de-escalate? Well, it takes two people to de-escalate: the officer and the suspect. And if you can't communicate with the suspect, or the suspect doesn't want to de-escalate, or the suspect has alcohol or drugs on board, you're not going to de-escalate. These are the same people who want to de-escalation from a 23-year-old cop when they can't de-escalate drunk Uncle Bob off of his niece's wedding when he grabs a microphone. The other issue is, forget whether he could see the tires. Watch the video. She looks straight at him, and she is turning the steering wheel. Guess where the tires are going to go in the direction she's turning?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
That's confusing is the incongruity. You know, we have an idea of what somebody would be like, and so, like, for Takaya to be using her blinker while she's, you know, being a threat to the officer, that seems incongruous. And for the Minneapolis suspect to be saying, I'm not mad at you, as perhaps her last words, we just make a whole lot of out of that. But it's always the behavior that has to be actionable.
She didn't want to break any laws, Chief. That's why she had a blinker on.
Well, Don Corleone said it's just business.
I don't want to make light of it, but I think a trooper might not have, you know, used deadly force. He might be coming to get.
Oh, I got you. All right, guys. But look, hey, we've got time for one more story. We need to cover one with a video component, and I'll let you guys pick. It can either be our well, I've still got Takiya up on the screen here. So look, this next one, it's either going to be our officer, you know, or bad guy that is stabbing himself with a piece of glass and walking down the street, or it can be our police shoot the knife wielding guy inside the St. Louis airport. Your choice.
I think Lance might like to analyze shooting a suicidal person because of the incongruity of that thought.
Sure.
So the stabbing in the glass?
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay. All right. So look, Rumble.com, this is Butter, which is our favorite law enforcement video channel. LAPD, they shoot a suspect who's stabbing himself with a piece of glass.
This is the Los Angeles Police Department.
If he's trying to cut himself, though, we can't, you know?
Yeah.
We try our best.
Move to the right. Get on the sidewalk.
We're in the street of Vermont, southbound approaching San Marino.
Ponte en la calle.
So we're in Koreatown, California, and so LAPD, they shooted this guy who's allegedly an attorney writes this, I'm sure, because they use the word allegedly a lot, but a large piece of glass to harm himself in the Koreatown area. This happened on Friday morning. So cops get the call about 7:15 in the morning after learning of the assault with a deadly weapon. And this is what LAPD is telling the CBS Los Angeles News. Callers tell the police that this guy identified as a 35-year-old Friesman Sanchez. He had broken the windows of a business in the area. He'd taken some of the glass, and now he's walking down the street. They say he's stabbing himself with the glass. So as officers get on the scene, they see him in the middle of the street. His shirt's covered in blood. He's got a piece of broken glass in his hand. And so they attempt to communicate with him, but he continues. He refuses to comply, and he continues to walk away from them. And so he's non-compliant. Additional units get there. He now starts to run towards officers, which prompt them to open fire. And he ends up being struck by gunfire, collapses on the sidewalk a short distance away. It's kind of hard to see originally in the body cam. And now an arrest team moves in. They take him into custody. He's taken to the hospital, critical condition, but subsequently arrested. And he was he was treated for gunshot wounds and also for the stab wounds that he self-inflicted. So Lance LaRusso.
The first thing that I noticed about that video, and this is where we lose, first and foremost, when people put a moniker up there and a warning, this video is upsetting. It could upset some viewers. There is not a single warning on a windshield of a law enforcement officer's car in the United States. And I want people, every time they see these on YouTube or other places where there's a warning, I want you to recognize this is what officers are exposed to every day. The other thing that struck me was the area this took place in. He breaks the window out. There's steel doors in front of every one of the other windows, and there's gang graffiti all over the place. That is the environment these officers are dealing with this in. They also have people on the street, and this notion that he's only a danger to himself is really interesting because we now have people that are going to show up and use these instead of getting out of the way when law enforcement's trying to work on something. So the officers not only have to worry about themselves, they're trying to protect the person who's doing self-harm, and they also have to worry about the person walking by who now becomes a victim of an edged weapon.
Wow. Well put.
And another thing about what officers deal with, this officer that ended up shooting, he thought he was rolling up to do traffic control. And all of a sudden he's involved in a threat and an OIS. So, even the most mundane of assignments can turn crazy very, very quickly.
Yeah, I was pretty pleased with the video quality here. And it's always advantageous to dissect these things and see if anything could be done better. I was pretty pleased with the performance of law enforcement, though. And, they quarantined the street off too. There was not a lot of pedestrian traffic there. They said that they had actually, blocked it down, while this guy was doing his thing. Had there been more pedestrians, this should have ended a lot quicker if there was, the likelihood, like I think Lance alluded to, that, you grab some female coming out of the store with her kids, young kids, and he just goes up and he just, does the unthinkable, So, but guys, we are out of time, and thank you so much for being on the show, Attorney Lance LaRusso and Dr. Joel Schultz. Appreciate it. We're going to keep this going for a second, but I'm going to talk about the Wounded Blue real quickly here. And the Wounded Blue is formed by Lieutenant Randy Sutton, his 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. If you guys are looking for an organization to support that's not going to embarrass you, I highly recommend you check out the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. I support them monthly, and they're really doing a great thing. Also want to mention again, our sponsors, please support our sponsors, guys. We have Gauls.com. Don't forget, Radio15 is that code to get you 15% off at Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We have Gunlearn.com and Medicare.life, SafeGuardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, and FisherLandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.